Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, joined by my co-host for life, Monica Siefker. Thanks for being with us today. Well, we've got a wonderful opportunity coming up for you to get more involved in local pro-life efforts. On Saturday, June 15th, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. at St. John the Apostle Catholic Church, there will be a training for sidewalk advocacy that will equip volunteers to become the hands and feet of Christ, offering loving and life-affirming alternatives to abortion outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. We've got Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish in Edinburgh with us on today's show to chat about his experiences as a sidewalk advocate and why it is so important for more people to get involved in this life-saving effort. But first things first, Monica's going to start us off in prayer.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And let's go now to this week's In the News.
With the spate of recent heartbeat bills being passed in state legislatures, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is now making statements declaring that using the term heartbeat in relation to an unborn child does not reflect medical accuracy nor clinical understanding. ACOG President Dr. Ted Anderson claimed that, quote, "What is interpreted as a heartbeat in these bills is actually electrically induced flickering of a portion of the fetal tissue that will become the heart as the embryo develops. Thus, we do not use the term heartbeat to describe these legislative bans on abortion because it is misleading language out of step with the anatomical and clinical realities of that stage of pregnancy," close quote. ACOG, however, is being accused by pro-life organizations of elevating political ideology over scientific facts. It is noted how just last year in one of its online resource documents, ACOG referred to the unborn's heartbeat as a heartbeat, and in its book, Your Pregnancy and Childbirth Month to Month, published in 2015, ACOG says that for week 6 of pregnancy, your baby's heart is beating 105 times per minute, and it is possible to see and hear the heart beating if you have an ultrasound exam. ACOG's recent statements continue to show how recent pro-life legislation has pro-abortion supporters worried as they continue to twist and obscure biological realities in an attempt to dehumanize the unborn. And a new handheld ultrasound device that will allow pregnant mothers to check on the health of their baby by connecting to a smartphone is in its finishing stages. According to the Times of Israel, the instrument is created by Pulse No More and is meant to give peace of mind to pregnant women by displaying the image of their unborn child on the screen and sending information to the woman's personal doctor for examination. While not yet fully approved in Israel, the company notes that the device has been successfully tested here in the U.S. And in response to the recent U.S. Supreme Court's decision to uphold the provision in an Indiana law that would require the burial or cremation of fetal remains, the Satanic Temple, an officially recognized church by the U.S. Internal Revenue Service, has voiced their objection on grounds that it violates their religious liberty. TST has issued statements claiming that their members should be immune from Indiana's burial law under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. A spokesman for the organization stated, quote, "To be clear, members of the Satanic Temple will not be made to pay for these punitive, superfluous, and insulting burials. We claim exemption on religious liberty grounds, and we will almost certainly prevail in the courts if we are forced to fight. fight, close quote. Currently in Indiana, when a woman undergoes a surgical abortion either in a hospital or in an abortion facility, the unborn child's remains are disposed of with other bodily tissues. When the new law takes effect, abortion providers will be required to cremate or bury the remains. The bill, however, says nothing about the remains of those women who take the chemical abortion pill and abort at home. And finally, approximately 25 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as a considerable number of Christians showed up to pray and offer help to the mothers going in. Several women from Kentucky made the drive up to Bloomington to abort their children, and it was likewise noted that several mothers came in bringing their young daughters to abort what would be their grandchildren. In recent weeks, Bloomington has seen a decline in abortion numbers, but Thursday's total rose above the typical weekly average of 20 unborn children killed there at 421 South College Avenue. And that's your weekly In the News.
Monica, we see the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death heating up exponentially all around us. Battle lines are being clearly drawn. Those who support abortion are being forced to admit by their own logic their support for abortion all the way up to birth and even after birth through infanticide. Abortion supporters are also starting to demand the removal of the Hyde Amendment, which prevents taxpayer dollars from going to fund abortion. Accusations of hatred and misogyny against Christians and against Catholics in particular are becoming so common. We're starting to see vandalism of church property because of the pro-life stance, as well as more frequent and severe persecution of those who are giving public witness to the cause for life. This is certainly no time for Catholics to cower or to remain on the sidelines, because we are engaged in a very crucial fight right now. We need all the hands on deck for the salvation of souls.
Yeah, we sure do, Rhonda. And one of the most effective ways to overcome Roe v. Wade and turn our local communities into a culture of life is through sidewalk advocacy. That is, having a prayerful, peaceful, law-abiding pro-life presence outside of an abortion facility and reaching out with love to the women and men going in. Now, this may sound like the last thing that you would want to do, but actually, it's one of the most helpful and most fulfilling things you can do. In the gospel accounts, we hear how our Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Well, we are praying intently for more laborers to show up there at 421 South College Avenue to be the hands and feet of Christ and to help proclaim the gospel of life. There is a harvest of souls waiting to be reaped there, and God is inviting you to the field. We spoke about the ministry last week with Lauren Muzica, Executive Director of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and today we're going to talk with Deacon Russ Woodard about our local efforts of sidewalk advocacy. We've had Deacon Russ on before, and we're so pleased to have him back with us. Let's welcome him on today's Pro-Life to the Max. Hi, Deacon Russ.
Hello.
It's so good to have you with us again. Now, you are there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood nearly every Thursday, which is Abortion Day, and it's such a testimony and encouragement to all of us. So, Deacon Russ, how long have you been doing sidewalk advocacy at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood now?
I guess it's about a year and a half now.
Okay. All right. So, Deacon Russ, Rhonda and I wanted to have you back on the show to give listeners just some encouragement and some reasons for why they should prayerfully consider attending the upcoming training for sidewalk advocacy. Now, it can be a very scary proposition to just show up at an abortion center and try to talk to the women going in. But do you think, is it really that bad?
You know, now that I've been doing it, no. If you had asked me 5 years ago if I would be doing this now, I probably would have said, no, that's not for me. But God has a way of working with people. And, you know, if I could say one thing more than anything else is, if you're unsure, if you're not sure, if you don't know if you can do it, come out to the training, sit through the training, and then pray about it and make your decision. So don't just say out of hand, no, I can't do that. You know, one of my favorite gospel passages is Matthew 25, 31 to 46, and Jesus talks about the final judgment, and he talks about we're going to be judged on if we feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and clothe the naked. I think if Jesus were giving that sermon today, one of the things he would say was, when I was at the abortion clinic, were you there to pray for me and to support me? I really do. So okay. I think it's something that we're all called to do.
Yeah, and it is that important, isn't it, given the gravity of the situation?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Deacon Russ, so you drive over all the way from Edinburgh every Thursday, basically, and you're there at 7 a.m. until about noon. So just kind of in general, what do you do from the time you get there until the time you leave? And we can, and you and Rhonda and I can discuss this in different ways, but just in general terms, what do you do all there?
Yeah. Well, it is about an hour drive for me. So I spend a lot of that hour drive in prayer, you know, putting on the armor of Christ, because it's not an easy thing to do, but I think if you go into it prayerfully, and then when we get there, we always spend time maybe talking about what happened the last week, and then we enter into another period of prayer where we pray for one another, pray for anyone who comes to the 421 South College Avenue on those Thursdays. We pray for them, whether they're coming as a prayer warrior or as a volunteer escort for Planned Parenthood or an employee of Planned Parenthood or one of the women seeking abortion. So we pray for everyone, and our days are filled with lots of prayer. There's more time for prayer than anything else. And then when someone begins showing up, usually employees will start showing up maybe around 7:30 to 8 o'clock. Sometimes clients start showing up at that time, although the doors don't open till 8 o'clock. So we just try to offer love and assistance, and we let them know that the Women's Care Center right next door is open and available, and they're glad to help them, and we'll do whatever we can to help a woman who's in a crisis pregnancy, that hopefully she will change her mind and not have the abortion.
Yeah, so okay, so a lot of prayer going on, which you're absolutely right, too. And I want to bring Rhonda here in on this point in the discussion, too. So, Rhonda, you're there just basically every Thursday, normally from around 8:30 to 11:30 a.m., and that's the bulk of the time when most of the women are coming in. So what's your take on things? And also, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I've also been doing this for about a year and a half. And, you know you're making a difference when you are angering the competition by your simple words and actions of love. Just yesterday, an escort grabbed one of our blessing bags from a couple still sitting inside their car, and she threw it into the public right-of-way where we stand to minister to mothers and fathers. Well, her anger, really, it had to be noticed by the couple. Well, I bent down picking up the pieces, and I thanked the escort for giving the bag back. And then even just last summer, you know, the escorts were becoming more aggressive in their efforts in intercepting the information. And they were trying to intercept any information, the blessing bags that we were giving to the women, and their gestures with their hands, and even stepping between us and the car, they were, you know, causing us to be pushed back. And after one incident, we actually had to call the police to make sure that they were aware that things were getting more aggressive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our competition knows they're losing.
And you know what? And you think choice, right? They're
yes.
all about choice, but they're really not.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They are becoming frustrated, and they're angered by the thought that one day abortion will finally come to an end. And our efforts, and you know, the thing is that we, all of our words and actions, we do it in charity and love for the women and the men, and even the escorts and the people that work down at Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. We're doing it because we're trying to bring them to Christ, but they are becoming frustrated because they are seeing that our efforts are making a difference.
Okay, yeah. So Deacon Russ, let's turn to this, the whole idea of escorts. So maybe people aren't aware of this, that their Planned Parenthood does have volunteer escorts there every abortion Thursday, right? And they are there to be kind of like distractions, to get the women, you know, not to hear what we're saying, to get them in the building. So let's talk about that a little more in depth, because that's probably our greatest challenge, is getting to the women, because these escorts are there. So normally, what would you say? How many escorts are there?
There's usually four there at a time. For the majority of the days, that's how many they have there. They have three different shifts, so there's a opening shift, a middle shift, and an ending shift. They're there usually between 8 o'clock and about 11:45 is when the last ones leave. So there's usually four there at a time. They station two at either of the drives where cars can come in, and their whole idea is to have the cars keep moving. They don't want them to stop and talk to us at all. They don't want them to accept our blessing bag or anything like that. They just keep them, they say, don't stop, keep moving. In fact, they yell this quite often, and it kind of scares the clients more than anything.
It's true, isn't it? They do. They do some things that I would think that if I was a woman coming in, I would just want to run, you know, because, can be very scary for these women. And so do they change them out?
Yeah, they change around, and so you have two that kind of rove the parking lot, and so when a woman pulls up, they will immediately go to her car, and the minute the door opens, they try to talk about anything other than abortion. They try to distract them. They don't want them to hear what we have to say. And, you know, they have these vests on that say, you know, pro-choice, Planned Parenthood, pro-choice volunteer or whatever. And as you said, they're anything but pro-choice. They just are, you know, if abortion's the only thing they want the woman to consider, they don't want the woman to have all the information that we are, you know, trying to give them. So
yeah, they absolutely give that impression, don't they? Without a doubt.
Yeah. Quite often they'll take the blessing bag, if at all possible, and take it away from the woman.
Yeah, and so let's bring up then also too, our goal is to get a vehicle to stop, right? Because we don't like having to yell out to them as they're walking in. We would rather that face-to-face personal contact. So our first kind of job or duty is to get that vehicle to stop when they're coming in. If we're correct, you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's correct. Unfortunately, right now, with the sidewalk advocates, we're basically there just on Thursday, and so we see the women as they're coming in to get an abortion. So we're hoping, maybe with this training, that then we can expand to other days when the women are first coming in for their first appointment, and maybe have a better opportunity to talk with them before they've had chance to commit to the abortion or something like that.
Absolutely right. That's an important point to make, is that we need coverage there throughout the week. And then we're not kind of like dealing with the escorts, where they're more free, the women are more free to come up and talk to us. So excellent point, yeah. And so the escorts, do we as sidewalk advocates talk to them as well? Or what is their response? What's their interaction?
Well, it seems more and more. I've struck up conversations with several of them, and I know you ladies both have as well. We're always friendly, and we greet them with a good morning, whether they respond back to us or not. Now, I think Planned Parenthood would prefer that they not talk to us at all. And in fact, recently I've had a couple of them that used to talk to me tell me, well, we're really not supposed to talk to you guys. So it's gotten a lot colder, I'd say, with the escorts. They just want to keep quiet. I don't know exactly if Planned Parenthood's afraid that we might change
their minds.
Yeah. And you know, when a new escort arrives on the scene who has never been there before, you know, I make it a point to go up and just let them know that, you know, we're not out there to anger you in any way. We're just out here to offer other options for women so that they know that they don't have to have an abortion if they really don't want to go through with it. And it really kind of sets the stage a little bit, because, you know, they haven't really been out there before, and they don't know what we're doing. So to kind of let them know that we are also out there to offer help before anybody else, you know, any of the other escorts tell them, oh, no, you don't want to. They're bad guys.
The protesters. Yeah, they like to just call us the protesters. Right. Yeah,
exactly.
And it is important that we do see these escorts with the love of Christ as well, because they are very much a child of God too, just like that unborn child, just to the mothers going in too. So, you know, so it's not like we want to beat them up. It's just that they prevent us with a lot of challenges. And it seems like too, do you get this sense that Planned Parenthood almost trains them, so to speak, or encourages them to dehumanize us? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, I remember going to a pro-life rally down there, I think like two or three years ago, when the David DeLayden videos came out. And I remember hearing one of the escorts say, just think of them as trees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's so unfortunate, isn't it? Yeah, but well, you can just continue to love them, even if it's just saying good morning, you know, or smiling at them. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the women themselves. So Deacon Russ and Rhonda, too, I'll let you go first, Deacon Russ. What do we say to a woman? You know, if we've got a vehicle stopped and we've got that just a few seconds there, what do we say?
Well, we introduce ourselves normally. We say, hi, my name is Deacon Russ, and I'm here to let you know that we're here for you, and that you're not alone, and that there are other choices available. We'd like to offer you this blessing bag, and the blessing bag has some good information in it that the women can read about different abortion procedures and maybe what the clinic, they could look up and see what the clinic's been cited for health against, you know, the health inspection and things like that. Mm-hmm. We really try to let them know that we're there to show them love and to help them make a good decision that won't leave them regretting the day that they chose abortion. We let them know that the Women's Care Center is right next door and that we can take them over there immediately and they have help available right then and there.
Excellent, because we don't have a whole lot of time, do we? Yeah. So, Rhonda, Rod, you got any comments about what do you say to women?
Yeah, and I also let them know that, you know, we can offer them a free ultrasound, you know, before they make this final decision.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think it's, you know, any secret that, you know, millions of women have regretted their abortions. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been billions of abortions, so you know that so many of them have regretted it. So we let them know that, you know, so many women regret their abortions. We don't want them to go through that. And then there are times when they kind of go in and out of the facility to go to their car or whatever. And we also let them know that, you know, the mother and the baby are both made in the image and likeness of God. They both deserve to be loved. And the violence of abortion is not offering that to them at all.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say, too, that those blessing bags that we give these women, and I would say, what do you say? How often do they take a blessing bag, would you say? Very often? Not really? Sometimes it's hard to get to them. It is hard to get it to them, isn't it? Because like Rhonda just told us earlier, the escorts will take them away sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, I almost wonder if Planned Parenthood informs them that, you know, when you come here on Thursday, you're going to be seeing a lot of protesters out there. They're going to try and give you information.
Absolutely.
Just keep on driving and park your car and get inside and don't listen to what they have to say.
Absolutely. I'm sure we've got that going against us as well, too. I would say, I'm trying to think, you know, maybe an average of a week, how many we give away, maybe anywhere from 5 to 10, I would say, just, you know. In general. But those blessing bags, they contain just some chocolate, some good information about abortion procedures, the clinic health inspection, and then just a place where they can go for love and support, because so many of these women feel like they are alone. I mean, you can just see it in their face and in their eyes. They feel like they have no choice. And so we want to do just everything we can to say that you're not alone. We are here for you.
And actually, one of the wonderful things that's also included is a miraculous medal.
Yeah,
so
yes.
They will, if they carry that bag in with them, our ladies' help is going to be assisting them.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Let's talk about persecution. How much persecution do we endure doing this too?
we don't want to scare anybody. Rhonda mentioned earlier one time when we had to call the police. And unfortunately, a couple times Planned Parenthood has called the police on us because they thought we were doing something odd. But it's really not that bad, but quite often we're on there on College Avenue, and people will honk their horns, and sometimes they give us different signals and things like that, so we have to endure that sometimes. Sometimes we had a gentleman yesterday that told us, you know, how come you guys aren't working? You need to go to work, you know, rather than being out here bothering these women. And we're like, you know, there's no work that's any more important than this work we're doing right here, you know.
Absolutely.
We don't get paid for it, but the benefits are what, you know, the benefits of going to heaven are what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we've had people come out and verbally abuse us. I can think of one woman who just was lacing us with profanities, you know, and all we can say is, you know, I'm sorry, you know, God bless you, we're here to help, that's why we're here. judging anyone. We're here to love people, and all we can do is the best we can do.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus told us that we would face persecution if we're doing the right thing. So I can't help but think that, yes, we are doing the right thing because we do face some verbal persecution.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that anger comes from past abortions. I mean, so many of those women who are yelling at us, or even men,
absolutely,
could have been a mother and a father
of
a child. Exactly.
They're very wounded.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're reaching out to them as well. I mean, we let them know that there is help. If they have experienced past abortion, there are ministries to help them as well. So,
yeah. And our time is quickly going, as always. So let's go to any inspiring or unique stories either one of you can share that you've had in the ministry down there.
Well, the one story I was just thinking of, it didn't happen in Bloomington, but I heard this story, and that's a woman who came, and she was quite verbally abusing, you know, someone that was there trying to help. And as we would, we just listened to the woman and tried to calmly, you know, talk with her. Well, it finally came out that she had had an abortion 20 years earlier, and her real question was, why weren't you out here 20 years ago when I needed you? Because I would have chose differently.
There you go. That's a good motivator, too, for us to remember. Rhonda, can you share any stories with us?
Yeah, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, walking down the road, and he stopped, and he asked what we were doing out there. And I said, well, we're offering help to women. And I noticed that he had an accent, and I asked him where he was from, and he said from Germany. And I happened to tell him that, you know, abortion is the American Holocaust that we are experiencing, and we are out here to offer help to these women. And he said, oh, you religious people. And I said, well, no, actually, it's a science issue, because we're talking about human life and when it begins. And he admitted that if a woman were given all of her choices right in front of her, most of them would not choose abortion. And I said, exactly. I said, and that's why we're here. And I thanked him for stopping and wished him a happy day.
Yeah, excellent. Deacon Russ, we want to thank you so much for joining us today on Pro-Life to the Max, and to thank you for all you do for love of God and souls. And can you quickly tell us, do you think life is winning?
I think it is. We don't always see the direct results, but over time, you start to see that we are winning.
But we know that in the end, life is victorious, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Well, the June 15th training is going to equip volunteers to reach out to the workers and all those going into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Instruction will focus on how to help an abortion-minded woman, how to help abortion-minded family and friends, how to help in difficult abortion situations like the case of rape, fetal anomalies, the life of the mother, how to help in non-abortion situations, like, you know, what about those men and women going in for things other than abortion, and how to help post-abortive women. All of these situations are going to be covered in the training so that you'll be well-equipped to go out there and be that light and face of love and of Christ. Attendees will receive a small training manual, and a nice little luncheon will also be provided, and all of this is going to be free of charge. Volunteers will be given an opportunity then to sign up to do sidewalk advocacy at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, either on Thursday or another day of the week. We're wanting to expand our weekly presence there, as we said earlier, and are begging our Lord to send more laborers and harvesters to the field there. So we invite you to come and join us on Saturday, June 15th, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. at St. John the Apostle Church in Ellettsville. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.